Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. I had messages all prepared and God gives me new messages in the car. So this is different than what I expected. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalms chapter 11. The Word of God in verse 3 says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" The foundation in our lives is really the basis of our life. It's the basis of our frame of reference. But Psalms here says, if it's destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundation is destroyed, I'm a person who will have no peace. If the foundation is destroyed, I'm a person who will have no joy. I will have no contentment. If my foundation is destroyed, I will always be at war with people. I will always have a comment to make. And it's not a positive comment. If the foundation is destroyed, I've had taken away from me that which was of God. That was my foundation. What can I do in this case? Without that foundation, I have no practical life with God. Without that foundation, I have no support from God. Without that foundation, I have nothing with God. Without that foundation, I'm in a place that is exactly the same as the unsaved. Because if the foundation is destroyed, what can I do? I can do absolutely nothing, because apart from Him, I can do nothing. And so we have to maintain our foundation. A person who does not have the right foundation does not live in the love of God. Unconditional love is not a part of their life, is not expressed in their life. Without that foundation, I have nothing of this sort. Without that foundation, I don't live in the finished work. Without that foundation, I will live by sight. I will listen to what I hear and I will judge. I will look at what I see and I will judge. That happens when the foundation is destroyed. But the just live by faith, Habakkuk 2 says. And so we learn to live by faith because that is the foundation. Many believers have their foundation destroyed. Who destroys their foundation? Satan destroys their foundation. This is what he came for in John chapter 10. He came to rob, to destroy, and to kill. Satan destroys foundations. How does Satan destroy foundations? By becoming self-oriented. Become oriented to lust patterns. Becoming oriented in self-consciousness. These are the destruction means of foundations. It's Satan that brings that to a believer's life. Yes, we all have lust patterns. Every person alive has lust patterns, but not one person alive has to live in them. If they have the right foundations, they will not live in these things. Yes, we all have the potential to be completely wicked, to live in pure self-consciousness and self-centeredness, but we don't have to live in these things. It's the right foundation that protects us from these things. So I'd like to speak for a few minutes about maintaining our foundations. There are really three basic foundations we have in our lives. We have the Word of God, we have the love of God, and we have faith. Put the foundations together and we live in the fullness of the finished work. Break down those foundations and we lose the experience of being the new creation, albeit we can never lose the position. We have to maintain those three foundations. I think the one that is really the most difficult for believers to maintain, or maybe not so much difficult as the one that they most commonly let go, is the Word of God. And we are told that in this age, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, that these days would see men forsaking sound doctrine because they loved themselves. Isn't that a curious thing? Isn't that a strange connection? That we forsake sound doctrine if we love ourselves? Wouldn't it seem to be that it would be the other way around? The fact that I love myself, I cling to strong doctrine? But people forsake the strong doctrines that are offered to them by God through various pulpits where godly men are preaching the Word of God. Why did it? Because they are lovers of selves. And in that lovers of selves, they are lovers of pleasure. But you see, the pleasure of self does not necessarily mean what is pleasing to self. The pleasure of self is whatever allows Adam to be oriented toward Adam. Adam loves to be oriented toward Adam. My Adamic nature is infatuated with itself. God did not try to correct the Adamic nature. God did not try to make it right using doctrine. God eliminated the Adamic nature through the cross. He killed it. He did not say, spare Amalek, and Amalek is a picture of the Adamic nature. He did not say, spare Amalek. He said, kill Amalek. This is the only way that I can deal with my Adamic nature. If I don't deal, listen to this carefully. If I don't deal with my Adamic nature at the cross, my Adamic nature will plague me and I will live in its curse. Now, it is possible for people to be condemned by a message like this, or it is possible for people to be instructed by a message like this if they are living in this problem. Many believers live in this problem. And they have the choice. If someone is listening to this, they have the choice. I can be condemned or I can be instructed. The difference is humility versus pride. If I am humble, I will be instructed by messages that instruct. If I am proud, I will be condemned by messages that may convict. But that's the whole difference. This is why you can have two people sitting and hearing the same message. One of them is instructed and edified, the other is condemned and perhaps reacts at it. Pride is the difference. God wants to teach certain people listening to this message how to have a rich life with Him, and they lack it. And the reason why they lack it is because they lack the instruction. Not because the instruction is unavailable, but because they don't mix faith with what they hear in simple, childlike response. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The first foundation is the love of God. There is really only one prescription given in the Bible for keeping ourselves in the love of God. And that is in Jude 21. We look for mercy. In all things, we look for mercy. In a situation where I have a problem, I look for the mercy of God. How do I look for the mercy of God? I have faith responses to the doctrine of mercy. I meditate on the Word of God and what it has to say about mercy, and I accept the fact and I assimilate this, that this is speaking to me. That the Word of God is not just general knowledge. It is God's Word to me as an individual. It's not necessarily only God's Word to the church. Certainly it is that, but it is far more than that. The Bible was written for me more than it was written for the church. Why? Because the church, the body of Christ, is made up of its individual portions. And so as a believer, I realize that the Word of God is written for me. That God is speaking to me in His Word. That if there is a message that goes forth from the pulpit, God is always speaking to me. He is either exhorting me in edification, or He is instructing me, or He is correcting me. But He's always speaking to me. I never look at the Word of God, whether it's in the Bible or from the pulpit, as anything other than God's message to me. Why? Because that's what it is. As the Word of God is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit comes to the hearers and He examines them. And He ministers that Word to their hearts. And so I have to understand that what the Word of God has to say about mercy, it is speaking to me personally about mercy. Do you know why people don't receive mercy? Because many people don't. They don't receive mercy because they've rejected mercy. They don't realize that they rejected mercy, but they did. It is possible for a born-again believer to reject the mercy of God, although they were saved by that very mercy that they are now rejecting. How is that possible? Well, I'll tell you, it shows up in the mercy that I apply to others. It's not because I failed to apply. In Luke chapter 6, where it says, "Judge not and you shall not be judged," it's not talking about, because I'm judged, I will judge. What it's doing is my judging is a reflection of what I have accepted into my life. And that judgment, if I judge, that is what I possess. That is what I have chosen. Realize something. What you have is what you chose. That means if you don't like what you have, you need to change your choices. Because even the judgment that we receive, Luke says, will be the judgment we have opted for. If I don't judge, I won't be judged. I accept judgment and therefore it is reflected in my attitude and in my interactions with other people. This is why when the foundation is destroyed, I'm always at war with somebody. I'm always commenting. I'm always negative against something. Why? The foundation. The problem is with the foundation. The problem is not with the person or the thing that I'm commenting on or that I'm at war with. The problem is my foundation. Heed this. Because there are people listening to it. I'll guarantee it. You need to hear this. Your foundation needs work. Without the right foundation, I will have no contentment. Without the right foundation, I will have no peace. Without the right foundation, I will not experience the love of God. Heed this. All of us need to maintain our foundation. There's not a believer alive who can survive without maintaining, not just possessing, but maintaining their foundation. Because we live in a satanic world. The god of this world is the devil. The devil influences this world and he controls it. That means without the right foundations, I'm still in the world. That means that I am a target with no provision. I'm a target with no cover. And I will be blasted away in the angelic conflict. Because he can see me. The foundations that we have are the protection that we have in this angelic conflict. The devil can see us if we don't have the right foundations. If we have the right foundations, we are covered. It's that simple. It's like a soldier in a battlefield who stands up when the shooting is going on. And that soldier is now very clearly seen by his enemy. And the first thing the enemy is going to do is start shooting at him. There are believers who don't have the right foundations who are being taken out in the spiritual warfare. And it is revealing itself in their lives, and they are confused because they have left the foundations and therefore they have no definition. This is your definition. Your foundations have been destroyed. They get destroyed when you don't maintain them. You haven't been maintaining. Some of you listening on the internet, you haven't been maintaining your foundation. And this is the root of your problems. When the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? What we do is we rebuild our foundation. We keep ourselves in the love of God by looking for mercy. In all things we look for His mercy. In all things we meditate on His mercy. Why? Because that is the first expression of the love of God. In Hebrews 13:4, that long-suffering patience is mercy. We look for mercy. If I fail, I look for mercy. Instantly I turn and look for mercy. What did Jesus say? That the just man falls and gets up again, but the wicked stay down. The just man gets up again because he has found mercy. That is my provision for overcoming my own failures. That is my provision for overcoming my weaknesses, my sin nature, my lust patterns. I look for mercy. In mercy I find that in Romans 8:1 there is no condemnation. Yes, I may still be having the fullness of the Romans 7 experience, but there still is no condemnation. I look for mercy. There is no real separation in the letter to the Romans between Romans 7 and Romans 8. That was added later. It's one continuous thought. I don't do the things I do want to do. I do the things I don't want to do. Who will deliver me from this body of death? There is no solution but this. There is no condemnation. And then he goes into one of the most glorious chapters in the entire Bible. Romans chapter 8. There is no condemnation. That is the provision for our humanity. Because in Revelation 1:5, the blood of Christ cleanses me from all sin instantly. It doesn't wait. It is an instant cleansing. God does not remember my sins. God removes them as far as the east is from the west. In Isaiah 1:18, though your sins are scarlet, God makes you as driven snow. You look for mercy. These are all issues of mercy. The blood is the foundation of mercy. And so in all things we keep ourselves in the love of God by looking for mercy. If you don't seek for mercy, you possess none. Why don't I seek for mercy? Well, it's really very simple. Mercy is available. I either accept it or I reject it. It's not very complicated. Nothing with God is complicated. The only point where anything with God becomes complicated is when my flesh gets involved. But nothing with God is in any way, shape, or form complicated. nothing is difficult, otherwise the finished work is not finished. It's all very easy. It just takes humility. That is the defining factor. It's humility. If I accept mercy, it's because of humility. If I reject mercy, it's because of pride. Humility will always receive mercy. Pride will always reject it. It is very easy for me as a believer to enter into the pride that will reject mercy, and it will show up to me as a sign how I deal with other people. If I deal mercifully, Jesus said, "Blessed be the merciful, for they will receive mercy." The merciful person will receive mercy. That means that if I am merciful, I have received mercy. Mercy is my possession if I am merciful. I am merciful because mercy is my possession. I've accepted mercy and now I am merciful. This is one of the foundations that I need to have not be destroyed. If this foundation is destroyed, my life will be very difficult. Because the only provision that I have for this world is the mercy of God. I cannot get along in this world apart from the mercy of God. I cannot get along with other people apart from the mercy of God. Because it's the devil's world, and every born-again believer, I'm not even talking about the unsaved, but even every born-again believer, every last one still has an old sin nature, and so do I. My provision is mercy. You find someone who's always at war with people, they have no mercy. You find someone who's always got a critical thing to say about something, they have no mercy. Their foundation is destroyed, they have no mercy. Look for mercy. You will require humility to do it. Look for mercy. The second foundation is the Word of God. The Word of God is given in categories of doctrine. It's amazing to me how many churches in America don't even know the phrase categorical doctrine, yet that's the very way that the Word of God was written. Was written in categorical doctrine. Isaiah 28 verse 9 through 13 says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make understand wisdom? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest wherein you may cause the weary to rest.'" Do you understand this? This is the rest wherein the weary are called to rest. How many believers have no rest? If you have no rest, your solution lies right here. Listen to this. Your solution does not lie in your situation. Your solution does not lie in the people. Your solution doesn't lie in a change. Your solution lies in the Word of God. And that is the only solution that God offers for your life. If you are void of this, you have stepped away from the only provision God has given. Enjoy yourself with the devil and the world. Because that is all you end up with. The Word of God is your provision, and it is your provision and categorical doctrine for rest in your life. Many believers are weary. Many believers are frustrated. Many believers are anxious. Many believers are angry. Many believers are void of the Word of God.
ruling their heart. That is your problem right there. Now again, you can be condemned and react. If you are proud, you can receive it in humility and be delivered. The choice is 100% yours, not any other person's. So listen to it carefully. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. That's how categories of doctrine build rooms in the soul. What do I mean rooms in the soul? Parts of your soul that are specifically equipped with specific provisions for specific situations. That's what categorical doctrine does. Once you have these rooms in your soul, you have a place to rest. You will not get categorical doctrine by fellowshipping with your negative neighbor. You will not get categorical doctrine. You will not get rest in your soul by fellowshipping with the worldly crowd. You will not get rest in your soul by fellowshipping with your television. You will not get rest in your soul by reading worldly magazines. You get rest in your soul by getting properly built up in categorical doctrine every single day. That's God's provision. Step away from God's provision. You step away from the only thing God gave you to produce rest in your life. You can try to produce it yourself. Good luck. You're going to need it because that's all that's going to be available to you. A little humility goes a long, long way. You need the Word of God and you need it more than the things you think are important in your life. You need the Word of God more than you need your dinner. More than you need the extra room in your house. More than you need the fancy car. You need the Word of God. Jesus magnified His Word above His own name. So don't tell me you can do it without the Word of God, and though you may not verbalize it, your lifestyle reveals your decisions. You need the Word of God, and you need it desperately. In Revelation 12:11, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of His testimony by the Word of God. Void of the Word of God, the Christian has no shield, because they do not have the production of faith, and they have no sword, and they also, because all of it comes from the Word of God, they have no helmet of salvation, they have no breastplate of righteousness, they have no loins girt in the truth. The Word of God is your provision, and without the Word of God as your provision, you are a naked soldier in the battlefield. You don't have a chance without the Word of God. You will pay the price, and the people in your life will pay the price. Because no one, absolutely no one, lives on their own. You can be a hermit, and you still will affect other people. We must maintain the Word of God in our lives because our lives depend on that Word. If the Word became flesh, what is it that I'm ignoring if I'm ignoring the Word? I cannot draw near to God without drawing near to His Word. The Word of God is what heals me. The Word of God says He sent His Word and healed them. He sent His Word and healed them. He sent His Word and healed them. You get this? He sent His Word and healed them. You need healing for your heart, it's in the Word of God. You need healing for your past, it's in the Word of God. You need healing for your circumstance, it's in the Word of God. You need healing for your mind, it's in the Word of God. You need healing in your emotions, it's in the Word of God. You need healing in your soul, it's in the Word of God. The Word of God is your provision to be completely made whole. A magnificent believer who reveals the nature of Christ through the Word of God reigning in his heart. The Word of God is your provision. You cannot live without it. Do you know what happens to a starving body? First, it goes through a lot of pain and it goes through illness. And then it starts to eat itself. It starts to destroy itself in an attempt to be sustained without proper nutrition. This is what happens to a believer. A believer will experience pain and difficulty, illness in their heart, in their emotions, and then they will start to destroy themselves. Because if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Word of God is key. It is your solution. Where do I learn about the mercy of God? I learn it in the Word of God. Where do I learn about the goodness of God? I learn it in the Word of God. Where do I find the promises of God for my life? I find them in the Word of God. What is it that the Holy Spirit takes in my life as He leads me in all truth in John 16:13? The Word of God. How do I become victorious? I become victorious through the Word of God. How do I know how to apply the blood of Christ to deal with my mistakes? I learned that through the Word of God. Through categorical doctrine in the Word of God. We desperately need the Word of God. How do I become the experience of the new creation? Through the Word of God. How do I overcome my problems? Through the Word of God. It's all in the Word of God. Why do people ignore the Word of God? Because many do. It's in the Word of God. Your answers to your problems are in the Word of God. I have to go to the Word of God. It's impossible without it. I've been predestinated in Romans 8:29 to be conformed to the image of His Son. How is that going to happen? It's going to happen through the Word of God. I mix faith with what I hear in Hebrews chapter 4 and I become conformed to His image. It's in the Word of God. I receive the Word of God, I meditate on the Word of God, I dwell on the Word of God, and you know what happens in my body? The mirror neurons that we talk about sometimes, they start kicking in and they give me the experience of the life of Christ. This is why the life that I now live in Galatians 2:20 is the life of God. It comes through the Word of God. Why is it that believers do not have an abundant, overflowing life, an abundant, victorious, joyful, pleasurable life that they enjoy at all times? They are void of the Word of God. Their foundations have been destroyed. Rebuild your foundations. Maintain the foundations. If you have them, rebuild them. If they're destroyed, you need those foundations. The last foundation is faith. Because the Word of God tells us that without faith it is impossible to please Him, and the just will live by faith. We live by faith. We never go to sight, we always go to faith. What is it in practical terms that I live by faith? It really means that I'm living a victorious life in resurrection life on the other side of the cross. because that's where faith takes me. Faith means that I'm gazing at the brazen serpent, and I don't take my eyes off of the brazen serpent. Faith means that in Philippians chapter 2, I have the mind of Christ and I don't yield the mind of Christ. Because it's not by my faith that I live in Galatians 2:20, it's by faith of the Son of God. And if I'm going to do that, then I need the Son's mind, and that in Romans 10:17 comes through the Word. We live by the Word and it produces faith. When I have faith, nothing fazes me. It just doesn't faze me. I have faith and I don't fear. Why don't I fear? Because I have faith in the character of God. I have faith in the promises of God. I know the outcome of many things without having seen the outcome. Why? Because I have promises from God regarding many things. The Word of God gives us almost 8,000 clear-cut promises. How many circumstances are there in a person's life? Every circumstance in a person's life, there is a promise in the Word of God. It tells you the outcome of your circumstance. You don't know if you're going to get your answer to prayer? Turn to the promises of God. Everyone who asks will receive. You have not because you've asked not. Ask and you'll receive. There's your promise regarding your prayer. Don't know the circumstances regarding your kids? Raise up a child in the way he should go and he won't depart from it when he's older. There's your promise. Every situation in your life has a promise from God. Entering some persecution, entering some difficult times, take up a promise. All things work together for good. All things work together for good for us. We are those that are loved by God and therefore we love God. That means in Romans 8, all things will work together for good. Take up the promise. Ecclesiastes said that the end of a thing is better than its beginning. Take up a promise. You want to know how it's going to end up? Better than it started. Take up the promise. Your promises are your provision for your situations. The Word of God contains the promises. Faith makes them personal. The just shall live by faith. The end result is I am the experience of the new creation. God did not create us for confusion, for being distraught in our lives, for not knowing what to do with our lives. He did not create us to have strife in our lives. He created us to be victorious in our lives. To be overcomers. You want to know why some people are not overcomers? The foundations are destroyed. Someone has crept into their thinking with a lie. And they have believed the lie. And it destroyed their foundations. Someone has crept into their thinking with the lie that the situation or the person or whatever else is the problem. They believe the lie. And so they try to deal with the situation or the person. They try to get away from the situation or the person. They try to ignore the situation or the person. And they get farther and farther and farther into the lie, and they are going down the road that leads to destruction. The road to eternal life is narrow. But on that road, you find eternal life. Our foundations keep us on that road. They are the ancient landmarks. They are the ancient paths that we are to not forsake. We hold on to these. And once we have them, we maintain them. We continuously look for mercy. Even if I'm victorious, I'm looking for mercy. You know what a Spirit-filled, victorious believer does regarding mercy? They look for people to be merciful toward. Do you know what a Spirit-filled, victorious believer does with the Word? They receive it until it overflows from them and they become a living epistle. Do you know what the Spirit-filled, victorious believer does with faith? They become conformed and manifest the image and the character and the nature of Christ so that the glory of God shines through them and others see Christ in them. The foundations must be maintained, because if they're destroyed, we lose everything. If they are destroyed already, rebuild them. Because that is where rebound comes from. You make a mistake, you rebound. You don't lose ground, you rebound. But you do it through your foundations. You look for mercy. Your entire life depends on those foundations. Don't let them be destroyed. And if your foundations already are, build them. Jeremiah 31:4 said, I have built thee and I will build you again. I have built you and I will build you again. Israel lost its foundations and their foundations were rebuilt. A believer loses their foundations and their foundations are rebuilt if they are willing to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. If they don't humble themselves, then God will resist them. But if they humble themselves, then God will lift them up. God will build their foundations. As they receive the Word of God, as they look for mercy, as they operate in faith, the Holy Spirit is operating in their life and He's building their foundations. Amen.